Good evening. We are back. It's been a few weeks since we've done a live show. The summer's been here. It seems to have finished here, actually, because it's been raining for the last few days. But the summer's here. The football season's not quite with us yet, but coming up, starting in a couple of days' time, it is the Women's World Cup. So tonight we are going to look ahead to that big tournament and discuss how we think the Lionesses can do. Can we follow up the Euros victory with a World Cup win? Wouldn't that be something special? So we're going to look at that. And also as well, it has been quite a busy summer over at Arsenal as well. So we'll have a quick look at that. We'll have a look at the fixtures as well, which came out today for the WSL. So lots and lots to get through after this new little World Cup introduction. Lionesses, you come so far. Don't forget though who you are. Your roots are yours, but also ours. Giving hope to rising stars. Lionesses, here we go. There we go. A nice little new song. That's from Pete Drake, who did our song last year as well. That's his latest song. It's out for the World Cup. There's another great song on there as well called Europeans in Australia, which is good as well. He's on Spotify. There's a link down in the description. So go and check that out because it's more great stuff from Pete Drake, who's fantastic. And of course, someone else who's fantastic, Andreas, joining us tonight. How are you? Enjoying the summer?
Yeah, not bad at all. I'm glad to be back, and I think we have a lot to discuss. I'm looking forward to the World Cup, to the new season, and I'm excited for everything that's coming.
Yes, I mean, there's a lot to look forward to, isn't there? Obviously, the World Cup starting this week, and then once that's finished, the new Premier League season will be starting, and then the new WSL season. So lots and lots of great stuff coming up over the next few weeks as well. So, but of course, this show really is about the World Cup. It starts on Thursday, isn't it? I think the first game. So yeah. It's coming around really, really quickly. Seems to have suddenly appeared from nowhere. It seemed to be a long while away, and suddenly it's here, starting this week. So it's brilliant. We're really looking forward, obviously, to the World Cup now. Perspective, and I know Andreas, he said he's supporting England in the World Cup, of course. So from an England perspective, there's been one or two. For the first time, really, since Serena's taken over, there's a few little issues, isn't there? Things aren't running quite as smoothly in the England camp as we've maybe got used to over the last couple of years. In recent games, haven't gone too well. We've got, obviously, some key players missing. Has this World Cup maybe come at the wrong time for us, do you feel, Andreas? Or do you think maybe that, despite all of those problems, we've still got a very good group of players, let's be honest?
Yeah, we still have a good squad, but we shouldn't forget that we are missing key players in each region. In defense, in offensive midfield, and in the attacking line. And you can't take three key players out and say, oh, it doesn't matter, we go as before. Take three key players from every other big team out, USA, Spain, Germany, France, and they will have to struggle too. And I think the last three matches in which we didn't score, this is a proof that we are really struggling. We are missing the ideas from Fran Kirby. A lot of people said she didn't have the best Euros, but now you see how important she is for this team. What she brings for the offensive line, her ideas, and the way she creates chances, she sees spaces and her passes, and then she's never selfish. She always sees a better positioned player, and she creates dangerous situations, and we are missing this. And of course, we are missing Beth. She was the best goal scorer in the Euros, and you can't take the best goal scorer out and say, "Oh, we're scoring goals anyway." These are two key players in the front line, the attacking line, and yeah, of course we didn't score, and that's a problem. I hope that the girls will come with self confidence out of the Haiti match, because normally we should beat Haiti with a decent result, 4-5, 6-0, this would be normal. And this could give them self-confidence. We have good strikers. We have the best striker from the WSL season, Rachel Daly. We have Alessia Rooster. We have Bethany England. Beth England scored nearly every goal for Spurs in second half of the season. So they know where the goal is, and they can score. But sometimes there is a period when you create chances. I think especially in the Portugal match, this was a really good match from the Lionesses. They created a lot of chances. We hit the crossbar, we hit the post, but we didn't find the back of the net. And yeah, in football, it's always the same. If you don't score, you can't win. So this is a problem we have. And yeah, we are facing these problems. But anyway, it is a good squad, and there are still good chances. You must go through the group stage, and then we know in knockout stage everything is possible. So yeah, let's be optimistic anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the goal scoring is an issue. There's no doubt about that. We've seen that in the last two games. The one played behind closed doors against Canada was a 0-0 draw as well. So another game, I know that was slightly different. It was rotation of the squad. It was roll on, roll off, substitutes and stuff like that. So it wasn't a serious game as such. But even so, we didn't score in that game either. And it is a concern. And I do feel as though Beth, not only... obviously, the goals that Beth scored for England over the previous 18 months before, you know, including the Euros and before the Euros and even after, while she was fit, I do feel as though it's not just her goals, it's just the runs that she makes into the box. No one else makes those runs, and that's what we're missing, aren't we? And quite often, if you saw in you know, when Beth was playing, a ball would come into the box, Beth would be making a run to get on the end of it, whereas now, balls are coming into the box, and no one's making them run. Chloe Kelly plays out wide. She's very wide. She doesn't get into the box enough. You know, Lauren James is the same. And it's like, that's what we're missing for me. That you know, I know it's only one player, but it's such an important player. And I do feel as though we need to find a way to adjust slightly when we attack, the way that we maybe play, slightly adapt to the fact that Beth isn't there making those runs. She's not going to be getting on the end of things as she used to be doing. You know, Lauren Hemp needs to maybe step up and score a few more goals from the wide areas and stuff like that. But we'll see what happens. I mean, we can't do anything about the injured players are out, and that's it. We have to get on with it and with what we've got. And joining us as well is, of course, Amar. How are you doing, Amar? Good to see you, my friend.
I'm glad, mate. You all right?
Very well, very well. Good to see you. You enjoying the summer away from football?
Yeah, it's not too bad. We had a few days off. Watched Wimbledon, watched a few other things, and yeah, just been working on and off as well. So.
Yeah, Wimbledon was good, wasn't it? The final was really good, wasn't it? Djokovic and
Alcaraz.
What a great game of tennis that was.
Yeah,
it was. It was great. Obviously, you know, we're talking about England's kind of problems, shall we say. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call them problems as such, but this time last year, we were heading into the Euros and we were winning games, we were beating everybody, we looked confident, everybody looked ready for that tournament. And I remember we went to the friendly against Holland at Leeds just before the Euros, and England won 5-1. We played brilliantly that night, and you kind of felt that it was our time. Everything seemed to be falling into place. This year, it's almost a complete opposite. You know, nothing seems to be falling into place. We've got players missing. We're not really playing as well as we were. And I'm not feeling the same vibes as last year going into this tournament. Are you, Amar? Do you feel as though maybe...
Sorry, say that last bit again, sorry.
I said, you feel as though, obviously, last year we went into the tournament really high.
This year
we're going into a few problems. Do you think that that's going to be crucial, or do you think that we can, you know, Serena's good enough a coach and we've got good enough players to get through anyway, despite the issues this time around?
Yeah, it's difficult, isn't it, coming back off such a long season, and you think as well, all the performance after the Euros, post-Euros, and then having, well, pretty lengthy WSL season, because only finished in May, and then you think it's the World Cup, and it comes barely less than 2 months later, which is like, if you think about it, it's not that much rest, really, is it? I mean, we didn't play Champions League final, even if I like 6 weeks to prepare for this. So, yeah, no, it's understandable that the one or two injuries are not helped, but I still think the depth of the squad is pretty good. They just need to be a bit more clinical in front of goal. It might prove to be a blessing in disguise come the opening game against Haiti, in which against debutants is would be the perfect game. So they'll look to put a few past them and maybe lay down the marker. But yeah, it's not. I wouldn't say there's room to be too pessimistic about it. But yeah, we'll just have to wait and see, how they start, and yeah, okay, the build up hasn't been great though. Behind closed doors, goalless draw with Canada, and a draw with Portugal, but come tournament time, I think they'll be ready, and Serena will know what she wants to get out of the squad, and yeah, and so that they can deliver in the end. And Haiti, in many ways, is a perfect opening game.
No, it is. I agree. I mean, it's better to get the weakest team in the group first to give you that confidence. A good win could be the thing that sparks us, because we've definitely been lacking something in recent games. And maybe this is what we need, you know. But having said that, the other side of that is if we only maybe scrape past Haiti 1-0 or something like that, it might create more doubt, mightn't it? Because Haiti are a team that we should, on paper, beat reasonably comfortably. And last year, if we'd played Haiti in the Euro, we'd have probably scored 10, looking at the way we scored in some of the other games. So, it could work either way, couldn't it? Let's hope that we get off to a good start, get a decent enough victory, and we can build on that going into the more difficult games in the group. And then hopefully after that, into the knockout stage, where we know how difficult that can be when, you know, a great team that's in the competition, is going to be really, really difficult to win it anyway. I think even if we had our strongest team, we were in top form, it would have been difficult in this World Cup anyway. Slightly more difficult now because we're not quite at the place where we need to be. Now, obviously, we've mentioned the goal scoring or lack of goal scoring in the last few games, which is a worry, but defensively is a little bit of a worry for me as well, because obviously Leah Williamson's out, you know, captain, brilliant in defence for England, starts so many good attacks as well. And Millie Bright's not played for ages either. So we've got our two centre-halves from the Euros who were so great. You know, obviously Leah's out, Millie, how fit is she? You know, she's fit enough to play, I'm sure, but is she actually fit, match fit, tuned in? She's not played for such a long time. We saw that in the last game, it was it Esme Morgan and... who was it who played her up again? The Chelsea one, Jess Carter, wasn't it? As a centre back pairing, to me, that would worry me in against the better teams if we had those two as our two central defenders. That would worry me a lot, actually. I do think Minnie Bright is going to be so important in this World Cup that she is fit and ready, because, you know, losing one of your centre halves is bad enough, but losing both of them or having one of them not quite at the top level is a problem. I mean, do you think that could be a problem, Andreas, and defensively for England? Because yes, we've got, you know, Alex Greenwood can play in the centre as well. She's a good option there, but it's a bit of a worry, isn't it, with Millie Bright not 100% fit?
That's the question. How fit is Millie after? I think she was out since early March. Didn't play competitive matches, only this minutes she had against Canada in this behind closed doors match. And everybody says she's in full training. Yeah, training and matches, competitive matches, is totally different thing. And that will be the important point. Is she match fit against Haiti? It will be enough. She will be able to organize the defense and, yeah, they won't get too many problems. But Denmark is just another challenge. And we know with Denmark we're facing Pernille Harder, maybe Catherine Kuhl from our team. But the Danish team is a challenge. And there we need really in best condition. The center half position is a problem. Maybe Jess Carter will play with Millie. They know each other from Chelsea training, but then Alex Greenwood could be a fullback. It's difficult. I would say give Lotta a chance. She plays similar to Lotta, and she had a very good second half of the season. But we all know that Lotta is in Serena's ranking. She's very, very low, and I think she won't play. Serena will play Alice Greenwood or Jess Carter or Esme Morgan. It's a problem. And we will see against Denmark whether our defense is stable enough. Let's hope Millie is match fit. And no other injury to Millie or any other defender.
No, we can't afford any more injuries at all, really, can we? Let's be honest. You know, we're going into this World Cup with some key players missing, as we've already said. And that does worry me a little bit, the defence, not having a settled defence that we had last year. Having two leaders out of the team together would be really, really tough, wouldn't it, if Millie wasn't fit and wasn't able to play in the tournament or not able to be at 100%. I do feel that she's so important now. You know, she was important anyway, but even more so with Leah out as well. I think now it's so, so important. But I suppose the other issue as well is who's gonna start up front? Because as you said before, Andreas, obviously Rachel Bailey, Golden Boot winner in the WSL, scored, you know, so many goals. But of course last summer she played at left back and she played very well at left back. Of course we had Alessia Russo was coming off the bench in the Euros very effectively, scoring goals, some great goals that she scored as well. And it's almost, I know, you know, we mentioned Beth England as well. She's in the squad. She's scoring goals as well. We know she's more likely to be the one to come off the bench more often, isn't she? You would imagine. She's not going to start games. I think it's between sort of Russo and Daly as who's going to start. I mean, Amar, who would you sort of start as your main centre forward going into the tournament? Because bearing in mind, Serena doesn't tend to change the team, does she? Unless she has to. So whoever starts that first game up front, probably going to start all of them.
Yeah, well, I mean, it'll be interesting to see who starts as the front main striker. But, I mean, you'll have to start Lauren Hemp on one side. She's almost undroppable the way with her pace, and she can bring in the runs behind the defence and the worst crosses. So I'll probably start her on the left. I don't know. It's not tough to see. Maybe if Chloe Kelly's fit, you'll probably start on the right. I'm assuming she's in the squad, right? Chloe Kelly?
Yeah.
I think, So when they play together, they're almost they're so deadly, especially we've seen down the last few months and seasons for Manchester City. So, I mean, there's an argument. You could start them on either side and play. I don't know. It's difficult to know you play through the front, really. It's tough because you could put Ella Toon in there, you could put Russo, you could put England, you could put Daly. It's really tough. They've got good options. Yeah, I suppose it's a good headache for Serena to have, but it's really tough to know who's gonna start there. I mean, could any of the, all of those are proven capable goal scorers? So, I mean, probably the argument is for Rachel Daly, considering she was the top scorer in the WSL. But I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who she puts there. But I wouldn't know for sure who I would start because it's they're all very capable and very very capable on their day, and ultimately it's going to be down to the manager to decide who to start front. But it's tough, as I said, but I'd probably go lean slightly towards Rachel Daly.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose Rachel Daly looks as though she may be the slight favourite to start just because she did win the Golden Boot, I suppose, and she's played so well. But I don't know, I mean, you go back to the Euros team, and especially we're just talking about the defence there. Obviously, we've lost one of the defenders, Lee, already. One of them's not necessarily 100% match fit. Do we want to make another defensive change from the Euros when that player's actually in the squad? I would almost be tempted to play Rachel back at left back again and possibly Alex Greenwood as centre back, the left sided centre back, maybe in the back four perhaps. And then, you know, obviously Alessia Russo up front. I mean, what would you do, Andreas? Who do you think is going to start up front on Saturday against Haiti?
I wouldn't say that Rachel Daly should play on left back, and this will not happen. I think the whole season she played as a centre forward, and she was training all this, and she proved how many goals she scored. I think it's only one team in the WSL against which she didn't score. I think it's Everton, but she scored against all the other teams. So this shows she's able to deal with any defensive system with defenders, and what could she have done more than scoring so many goals? I think Rachel Daly deserves to start, and as much as I love Alessia Russo and I'm wearing her shirt, I'm really happy that she signed for us. But I remember the Euros last year and the impact she made as a substitute. And so I would start Rachel Daly and bring Alessia after 60 minutes or so, and she will have a very big impact then. And my wingers would be Lauren Hemp and Chloe Kelly, because I think Lauren Hemp is more. She has her problems with working back and defending. I think she was better in the number 10 position when Serena changed against Portugal at halftime, because Ella Toon is out of form for months, I think. And Toon as number 10. I would try Lauren James as number 10, and as I said, my attacking line would be Chloe Kelly, Lauren Hampton, Rachel Daly, and then bring on Alessia to score with yeah, with fresh legs and with her dominance in the air, put the Danish matches if we need it. And of course, we still have Stephanie England. Don't forget her. Would be a fantastic stuff. But I think with England, we have the same problem as with Lotta. She's very, very low rated from Serena. I don't know why, but it's my impression.
Yeah, she does seem to be, doesn't she? And sometimes it doesn't make sense, you know, because, you know, Beth England scored goals throughout her career, hasn't she? So she's a natural goal scorer. This is the sort of player that you need in a squad, in a tournament, I think, anyway. So, let's see what happens. Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree. I do feel that Rachel Daly will start up front. I do feel that is where she's going to start. Obviously, Alessia Russo had such an impact in the Euros coming off the bench, and she's maybe been better for England coming off the bench than she has in the games that she started. She does seem to be better coming off the bench for England for some reason. Maybe it's just the way that, you know, she's coming into a game at different points in the game. Maybe it just suits her better. When she starts a game, she seems to have less, for England that is, she seems to have less of an impact than maybe in the games that she's come on. But maybe that's just unfortunate for her in the sense that she's come off the bench so many times and scored a big goal or a couple of goals and then everyone remembers that, don't they? Whereas, you know, she's doing great work when she starts, but she's not scoring as many goals, is she, when she starts games. So I'm sure Serena will have it in her mind the way she wants to go, and she doesn't tend to change the team very much. So it's likely to be whatever the starting 11 is, but obviously injuries taken into account, but whatever the starting 11 is on Saturday against Haiti, I'm sure that's what she's got in mind for the rest of the tournament for starting, and obviously coming on and hopefully having the same sort of impact. I agree. I think Ella Toona's really been at a poor season, hasn't she? You know, I don't think she was great for Man United. She's been really poor for England as well. I'm not quite sure what's happened there because she was so good last year. And I kind of agree. I think Lauren James in that number 10 role might actually be the best position for her. When she's out on the wing, sometimes she doesn't get the ball very much. So when she gets it, she sometimes wants to do too much and she doesn't cross the ball quickly enough or she doesn't pass it quickly enough. Within the number 10 role, she's more involved and you feel as though she can have more of an impact on the game. So that would, I think that'd be a big call actually if Serena was to play her in the number 10 role, because it's not something that she's done on a consistent basis for England up to it. Even for Chelsea, she doesn't tend to play there really, does she? So it would be a gamble to a certain degree, but I think that her performance against Portugal in that position certainly suggested to me she may be a better option than Ella Toona at the moment. And again, Tooney coming off the bench, you know, in the Euro, what impact she made. So maybe that's the way to go with that as well. Get Tooney and Russo back off the bench again to win us games when it's tight and we need a goal. You know, maybe that's the way to go. I don't know, but we'll have to see. So I'm sure Serena's got it figured out in her mind what she wants to do and how she's going to play it. We'll just have to go along with her and hope that she gets it right again. Terry's in the chat as usual. He says, good evening, Richard, Andreas, the one and only, and our own goal scoring mascot, Amar. Hope you're all keeping well. Just on my way home.
Own goal scoring.
Yeah, Russo, England, and the Guna girls indeed. And so he says, I hope no Guna girl plays a big part, so I want them all fit for love. We want them to have a good World Cup as well, don't we? Yeah, we don't want them to get injured, obviously. That's the main thing. We don't want them to get injured, but we want them to have a great tournament, don't we, and come back buzzing for the new season. That's what we really want, don't we? Now, obviously, it's not just England at the World Cup. There's a lot of other competition. You know, England are going to be one of the favourites, of course. You know, the European champions. You know, Serena's got a great record in tournaments, hasn't she? She got to the World Cup final with Holland last time out. So, but there's a lot of competition in this World Cup. Of course, we know how tough it's going to be. I mean, obviously, USA are the holders going for three World Cups in a row. They're going to be one of the teams to beat, obviously. You know, we've mentioned Spain before. We know how good they are. We beat them in the Euros. They're going to be looking to have a good tournament, aren't they? Obviously, Germany are always there or thereabouts, aren't they, when it comes to tournaments? We know they'll be difficult to beat if we have to play them. I think Australia have got a good chance as well. We saw them against us. You know, they've got goal scoring Sam Kerr, Caitlin Ford, you know, Steph, our girls as well. Obviously, Canada, a good side. I mean, how do we see it kind of playing out? I mean, Amar, who would be your kind of favourites at the moment going into the tournament to maybe go all the way?
Funny enough, I'm just looking at the wall chart, which I just downloaded earlier, and I'm looking at our various pops, which I have not quite worked out yet, but I was looking at the various groups. And looking at some of the groups are quite intriguing because, you know, as you know, only the top two in each group can go through. And this could be some one or two teams who don't potentially make it through the group stage. If you think about it, then, I mean, as you said, yeah, you've got Australia, Canada and Ireland in one group. One of our teams, which has our goals, and is going to miss out there. But I knew Ireland debut. But, I mean, yeah, it would be a shock if Australia didn't make it through. But as I said, you can never rule them out. Their squad depth is really good. And, yeah, they'll be keen to do well in front of home fans. USA, of course, three times defending champions of the pedigree. They haven't lost a completed World Cup match and since 2007, which is absolutely ridiculous, since the semi-final loss to Brazil way back in 2007 in China. And yeah, they've been number one side in the world for a long time. England beat them at Wembley last year, but that's a very rare thing for them to lose. Yes, and then really obviously Germany have always had the pedigree as well, won back to back in 2003 and 2007, suffered that shock loss in 2011 to Japan, which arguably was a bit of the changing of the guard in many ways. You can never rule them out. So, yeah, I mean, it's difficult to know who does. So I don't know. You see, I'll put England amongst the favourites, but it's really tough to tell. It's really, as I said, it's so tough. We've got so many debutants, and there's a few you can rule out, but I'd say it's probably between five. Probably say Germany, USA, Australia, ourselves. You know, again, the Dutch you can't rule out, and possibly, it's a tough one. But again, yeah, Sweden have decent pedigree as well, so I wouldn't rule them out either. Four or five teams, I'd say, are amongst the first few favourites. But yeah, it's going to be an intriguing tournament. As I said, one or two big teams may not make it through the group stage, so it will remain to be seen.
Yeah, potentially, yeah. I mean, that's absolutely right. I mean, I do hope that that whoever wins a World Cup, whether it's England or somebody else, that we've got, it's one of our girls is in the team that wins. Yeah. Nice for them to win the World Cup, wouldn't it? You know, so that whoever, if we England get knocked out, obviously I'll be cheering for whichever of the countries are left that's got some of our players in it. You know, whether it's Sweden, whether it's Australia, whether it's Canada, whoever it might be that's got some of our girls in again. That's who we want to win, I suppose. But I mean, obviously, Andreas, Germany always turn up in tournaments, don't they? We know as Amar said, the pedigree that they've got. I mean, how do you feel that Germany's chances are in this World Cup? Bearing in mind, you know, they got to the Euro final, and that's still a very good side.
Yeah, I still think that Germany is a good candidate for the last four for the semi-finals. But if you asked this 2 or 3 weeks ago, I'd say Germany will reach the final against USA. But the last matches against Zambia and there was another one against Vietnam. This wasn't good. And against Vietnam, Germany won 2-1, but had a lot of problems with long balls, with the pace of Vietnamese players. And against Zambia, it was a deserved loss. And Zambia was 2-0 up, two counter attacks and the pace from Barbara Banda, and the German defense couldn't control this. And I don't know whether they will be able to solve all these problems in defense within the last two and a half weeks. The team spirit is very good, but it's nearly the same team as last year. Euros, mm-hmm. Julia Gwynn missing with the ACL injury, she didn't make it in time.
Oh, yeah.
It's 10 players from Wolfsburg in the squad, and the last match it were 8 Wolfsburg players in the lineup. And we all know that Wolfsburg didn't have a really good second half of the season. They lost 3 matches in Bundesliga, they didn't play well in Champions League.
We should have knocked them out.
They knocked us out, but with how much luck. And in the final against Barcelona, they had 45 good minutes, but then the second half, they were chanceless. So I don't think that it's the best solution to start with 8 players from a team that is self-confidence. Why not giving players from Frankfurt a chance? They had a very good second half of the season. They finished only 3 points behind Wolfsburg. And players like Laura Freigang or Nicole Anyomi, Sophia Kleinherr, they are always only on the bench. think Germany has a lot of problems, but the other thing is there's a German word, Turniermannschaft, a team that is growing in a tournament. It's valid for the men's team and for the women's team. For the men's team, not in the last in the last tournament. But normally it's valid for all German teams. They are growing in the tournament. And,
yeah.
And they have an easy group with Morocco, Colombia, and with South Korea. Normally they will finish their group with 9 points, with a lot of goals, and they will go with self-confidence in the knockout stage. But then they will face Brazil or France.
That'll be interesting. Germany or Brazil.
Whether it's France or Brazil. So there, in this first knockout match for Germany, it will the tournament will be decided. If they beat they beat France or Brazil, then everything is possible. I think USA is my favorite. I think they could probably win once again. But don't forget teams that were underperforming in the Euros, like Norway or Netherlands. A lot of internal problems. They have changed their coaches, and if they solve these internal problems, and if they come out as a real team, look at the names in Norway, the attacking line with Ada Hegerberg, with Guro Reiten, Caroline Graham Hansen from Barcelona, Frida Manum, top players, and they underperforming at the Euros, were beaten 8-0 from England. But it's not the quality of the players, and there were other reasons. So Norway is something like a secret candidate for at least the quarterfinals. And I think Netherlands, I saw the match against Belgium. Of course, Belgium is not the best quality team, but you have to beat them 5-0. And Netherlands were really playing well. So there's also a new coach, Andries Jonker, and
maybe he knows very well.
He got the right connection with the team or with the team spirit. So don't underestimate Norway or Netherlands.
No.
Sweden, of course, is in every competition a candidate for at least quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. And I would love to see Australia going through the tournament. It would be important that the host team is in the tournament for a long time for the atmosphere in the country, in the stadium. We saw last year how important it was that England had this run in the tournament. And I don't think that New Zealand will get a breakthrough, but Australia, they could. It's called the Golden Generation with Steph Catley, with Caitlin Fox, and her, of course. If not now, they will never manage to win anything. Let's see. It will be a really exciting tournament. A lot of teams that can do.
No, you're right. It is a very open tournament, isn't it? I mean, we've got the groups here. So we'll have a look at all the groups there. I mean, some of the groups are obvious who's going to go through, I think, looking at the groups. Some of them are not quite so obvious, are they? I mean, in Group A, you've got, you'd imagine New Zealand and Norway looking at that. But, I mean, Switzerland have got a decent team. They could.
Yeah, whole team, Maris, yeah.
Yeah, they've got a good team. So that's maybe a little bit open. Obviously, Group B, Australia and Canada, you would imagine, are going to go through. But, I mean, Nigeria will probably be difficult opponents. And Republic of Ireland, their first tournament, they're going to enjoy themselves, aren't they? You never know. They might be able to shock someone. But you'd imagine Australia and Canada there. Obviously, Group C, Spain are going to be massive favourites in that group, aren't they? Possibly Japan maybe going through with them. You'd imagine probably be the favourites, wouldn't they? Out of that group, obviously our group, you'd imagine we should win the group, we should do. And then who would it be? Would it be China or Denmark? Probably Denmark would be the next favorites to possibly go through there, you'd say. Then we've got obviously USA's group. I mean, the group that they're in there, you'd imagine they'll win they should win most of their games there, shouldn't they? I mean, Holland, if Holland can get their act together. Portugal are a difficult team, aren't they? They was all right in the Euros. They obviously, we only drew 0-0 with them, but, you know, you'd imagine that that should be USA and Holland in that group. Obviously, Vietnam playing in their first World Cup as well. Group F, again, France are going to be the favourites there, aren't they? I mean, that looks to be Brazil as well, I suppose, doesn't it? I mean, Jamaica and Panama are probably aren't going to cause too many problems there, aren't they? You wouldn't imagine.
Well, G's is a tough one to call. G is quite tough, I would say.
I mean, Sweden, obviously, we know Sweden are a very good side. They're going to be favourites there, aren't they? Italy are a good side as well.
I think Italy could be one of the big casualties in the group stage. I think Argentina's got a good squad as well.
Argentina's got a good squad.
Italy were disappointing in the Euros as well, so they've got a lot to live up to as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's fairly open, that one. I mean, I don't really know too much about the South African team, if I'm honest, so they'll probably be perhaps the underdogs in that particular group, I suppose. And then, obviously, the final group with Germany, and you'd imagine Germany should win that group. It's not the most difficult group they could have got, is it? Let's be honest. I don't know who else to go through that one. I don't really know too much about Colombia or Morocco. And then Morocco's their first...
Colombia got to the last 16 in 2015 in Canada. So they've got... And they were in England group that year. So they've got some pedigree. Other than that, Morocco and Korea, that's a tough one. But, it's interesting to see.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean, you know, some of the groups seem a little bit more open than some of the others. Some of the others seem a little bit more... It's obvious or seems obvious we might go through, but I know anything can happen. Obviously, we're only really worried about England getting through the group first, aren't we? And then the knockout stage is when it all really starts for me. It's all the same with tournaments. The group stage is a lot of fun. Sometimes you get some good games, but it's the knockout stage that really counts, isn't it? And we've got potentially a difficult draw because I think we could, depending on if we win our group or come second, we'll play Australia's group, won't we, in the next round?
The runners up or the winners of Australia's group and then potentially either Germany or Brazil in the quarterfinals.
Yeah, so it's a tough run, isn't it? So
I don't know if I've worked out the semi, but I think I'm looking at the other half. If we win our group, I don't know. I'm looking at it right now.
Isn't it Spain or something that we could end up
possibly,
with?
Possibly, possibly. Yeah, it's so, 5 or 7. Yeah, 5 or 7. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it's going to. Yeah, I mean, we'll see. We need to get through our group first, but we can worry too much about that. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a World Cup, isn't it? So it's going to be tough no matter who you play. You know, it's knockout stage World Cup, isn't it? Whoever we play, they're going to be difficult games, aren't they? There is some very, very good sides in this tournament, which I think is going to be, I mean, apart from anything else, it's going to be a good advert for women's football again, isn't it? The Euros last year was a fantastic tournament, wasn't it? Obviously, in England, we won it. We all enjoyed it. But I think this now, with a World Cup as well, I think it's a really good opportunity. You know, the best teams in the world, the best players in the world, all coming together. And let's hope that that's the main thing. Yes, it'd be great for England to win. Let's be honest. We'd love it, wouldn't we? But I think that as long as it's a positive, it needs to be another positive tournament for women's football, doesn't it? Because we had a great Euros. We had a great season on the back of that. Now we've got a World Cup and we need to build on that, don't we? And it needs to be a really positive experience for everybody. The football needs to be good. You know, obviously, the games need to be exciting. There needs to be a real buzz around it like there was in the Euros. It'd be slightly different for us. Obviously, the kickoff times aren't great, are they? You know, kicking off in the morning and stuff. It's not ideal, is it? You know, you can't get quite into the games as much, I suppose. But as long as it's a good advert for women's football, and you know, it's going to be a great tournament, I'm sure. And yeah, tough for England, but whoever wins it will have to do it the hard way. You're going to have to beat a good team to get there, aren't you, to win the final, so even to get to the final. And England, of course, what the last two semi-finals we've lost, haven't we, in the World Cup? So can we go on? This time, is it going to be our year? Who knows? It's not. I'd say I'm not feeling totally confident and optimistic about this tournament. We're just not going into it in the best form. But who knows? I trust Marina to get it right when it matters. I trust the team that we've got. So let's hope that we do. I mean, Andreas, how far do you think England can realistically expect to go in this World Cup?
It's very, very difficult to say. And as you said, the tournament starts with a knockout stage. I'm convinced that we will go through the group stage, even if we might get problems against Denmark. If we finish first or second in the group, we will go through. But then we will face Canada or Australia. Oh, this is a it's a really difficult challenge. If you first face Australia, it's the host with the home advantage, and we have seen how difficult Australia is to be played. We lost against them in a friendly, and Canada.
The Olympics as well.
Nobody expected Canada to win the Olympics 3 years ago or 2 years ago. So don't underestimate Canada. This will be a first real challenge. And then, in quarterfinal, we could meet Germany. Everything open. Or Brazil or France. So I hope for the quarterfinal, and if we reach the semifinal, I think this would be a massive success with the injury situation, with missing three key players. And if you are in the semifinals, this means you are in the tournament until the last day or the day before the final, because there is a match for the third place. But it makes no sense for me. But if you reach the semifinal, you have to play either the final or the for place three. Reaching the semifinals would be a massive success, I think, and I would be happy with this. If we reach the final, okay. I will take it, but don't be too optimistic I wouldn't want the girls to the public or the press then says, it was a bad tournament, or in the round of 16. Why not? There are only the best teams of the world, and in the round of 16, there will be 16 top teams.
Yeah.
If you lose one knockout match, then the tournament is over, and it's no reason to be disappointed. So, if it's quarterfinal, fantastic. If it's semifinal, it's a massive success. If it's the round of 16, well. And let's look how we played, and it can happen. So, but the one thing is, we have Serena as coach, as manager, and she's the best manager in women's football. So, let's trust Serena and her decisions, the team that she builds, and so let's be optimistic. And I say, quarterfinal, if we reach semifinals, would be fantastic.
Yeah, I kind of agree. I'm kind of feeling like the quarterfinals may be as much as we can hope for, realistically. You know, we all hope for, obviously, if we can go on and get to the final and win it again. But I think quarterfinals is probably where we are at the moment with the squad that we've got, looking at the other teams as well. I think if we reach the quarterfinal, then yes, that would be okay. I'd be okay with a quarterfinal, depending on... It's difficult to know because you don't know who we're going to play and how we're going to play in that game to know how disappointed we'll be if we lose. You know, if we play really well and we're really unlucky and get beaten, we're going to be really disappointed. Whereas if we play really badly, it's going to feel worse, isn't it? It's difficult to say. But I do think if we get to the quarterfinals, I think we would have done well. And then anything's possible in the knockout. We've seen already, haven't we? Last year against Spain, we came so close to being knocked out in the quarterfinal, didn't we? And in the end, we managed to scrape through. So have we quite got that about us this time? We'll have to see. Let's hope so. But quarterfinal, semi-final is what I'm kind of thinking. Any more than that would be a massive, massive bonus, let's be honest. But then, did anybody really expect Holland to reach the last World Cup final? Maybe not.
No.
And they did. So, you know, Serena's got that habit, hasn't she? That knack of when it matters, she manages to pull it out of the bag. And I wouldn't be surprised if we did go all the way to the final again. But I think quarterfinals and semifinals are where I'm kind of thinking. Are you a bit more optimistic? Do you think we've got a great chance to win the World Cup as well? That would be fantastic, wouldn't it, if we could?
It would be brilliant to follow on last year. And people will start taking us seriously now. But you just have to take it game by game. Ultimately, you get to go, you work yourself into the tournament. If you see, we didn't start well against Austria but then as the tournament progressed last year, we just got better and better. One thing is, even though we didn't play particularly well against Spain, we still found a way. We just got stronger as the tournament went on. Then you could just see from then on, especially from the Norway game onwards, I never doubted them. But thing is, if you work your way into the tournament slowly and you don't have the particularly the best group stage, you could easily get found. How many times we've seen that we get found out in the knockout stages, and you could suffer an early exit. So I mean, you've just got to take it one game at a time, work your way in, and see how it goes. But it's a tough path. I mean, let's see. I think if we didn't get at least to the quarterfinals, we'd be extremely disappointed. I know, looking at it, so potentially it's Canada, and then it's Germany or Brazil, and then probably France in the semis. But I think if we get to the semis, it would still be a very good achievement, even quarters. Mm. But let's see. We've just got to take it one game at a time. And, you know, if we can do what we did last year, why can't we go all the way? But let's see. We've got arguably our strongest ever, strongest squad. The mentality's there. The manager's better, if you think, compared to previous tournaments. But it would be brilliant to say we can go all the way. I wouldn't say we won't, but even if we got last four or third to fourth place, I still think we'd be a successful backup to last year. And we'll see what happens. But as I said, we've just got to take it game by game. And hopefully we can do what we did last year.
I mean, you've got to think of it in a way. I mean, you know, the last World Cup, we got to the semi-final. And when you look at it, we've got a better manager now. And we've probably got a better squad of players as well. And we got to the semi-final last time. So, you know, I think we're feeling a little bit not quite as optimistic now, just because the form coming into it. And we know we're missing some really, really key players, as we've mentioned. So that's maybe putting a little bit of a downer on how we're feeling about going into the tournament. But we know, as you rightly said, as the tournament goes on, we've got the potential to get stronger and stronger, haven't we? As we did last time. You know, who better to have as the manager than Serena in these circumstances? We've got the best manager we could possibly hope for. And we have got a very good squad of players, even though we've got some players missing. We have still got a very good squad of players who have had that experience together from last year. You know, most of that squad is still together, isn't it? We've got one or two new players have come in, one or two are missing. But it's the core of the same group of players, isn't it, that did so well last year. And we can build off that, I'm sure. And that may well get us through some of them difficult knockout games. Yeah. You know, who knows? That camaraderie that the team have got, and the fact they know each other so well, that might be the thing. And they've been through it before together. And that might be the thing that does it. So, let's try and obviously get to the quarterfinals first, see how it goes, and then go from there. And who knows? Anything's possible in the quarterfinals in a tournament. Anything's possible, isn't it? So, let's get there first, and then we can start thinking about how well or not we might do. So, we'll just get the first game out of the way first. Of course, on Saturday, we've got Haiti, of course, as we said, possibly the weakest team in the group. No disrespect to them. I'm sure they'll give it everything. I mean, Andreas, what are you expecting from Saturday's game against Haiti? Obviously, we should win, shouldn't we? What do you think the score will be?
Yeah, I think it's good to start against the weakest team in the group. And normally we should score a few goals, I hope that it's, let's say, 4-0, 5-0, bit of self-confidence for our attackers. Maybe Rachel Daly can score two goals, and Alessia Russo is coming in, scores also. Should I be so optimistic and say we will win 5-0, but I don't know much about Haiti, and I think we have the better team, the better squad, more quality in all parts, and it's just a matter of time until we score the first, and if we score in the first 20 minutes or so, then we will have a 5-0 for us. Let's say I'm optimistic this time.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we should win the game reasonably comfortably, let's be honest. I mean, Amar, what's your score prediction then for the Haiti game on Saturday? What are you thinking?
Well, yeah, I mean, everyone was saying they're just, what's the worst thing for them? Not lamb to the slaughter. It's an easy opening game, isn't it? They expect them to win, they'll work their way in. But I don't think it'll be embarrassingly one-sided scoring. I mean, to emulate the USA's 13-0 win over, who was it in the last tournament? They beat 13-0, I can't even remember now. But yeah, I think it'll be 3 or 4-0, let's say. It'll be a nice, comfortable win and a clean sheet. At least with tougher tests ahead, hopefully. So, yeah, let's say 3-0 England.
Yeah, I mean, I know we said it's a good game to start the tournament with, but I just feel as though if we were playing maybe Haiti second, when we had a game already. I think we beat them 8-0 like we did against Norway last year. I think we would just rip them to pieces. I just think we're going into it a little bit tentative. We haven't scored goals. And yes, they're not a particularly strong opposition. But I just think maybe if we'd had a game first, maybe sneak past Denmark 1-0, we'd then go on and absolutely hammer Haiti. Playing them first, I do feel as though how we start the game could be important. Yeah, an early goal, and I do think we could steamroller them quite easily. But if it's still after 20 minutes, 25 minutes, half an hour, we might start to get a little bit nervy. Obviously, we'll win the game. I think we'll win the game. Yeah, I think maybe I'm going to go 4-0 in the end. I think we'll wear them down. I think we'll be fitter than them. We'll have more quality, and I do think we'll win 4-0 in the end. But I think it might be a couple of late goals maybe to put a gloss on it. Maybe it might take us a while to get going. But yeah, hopefully, Alessio can come off the bench if he doesn't start and get a goal or two. That'd be nice, wouldn't it, to kickstart a World Cup?
Yeah,
she'd be one of the. She could be out there for the golden boot, couldn't she? Greg says, I think the bad results coming into this because the players were worried about getting injured before. Yeah, it could be a factor, maybe. I don't know if that's the only reason. Yeah, I mean, it's a potentially a reason. Yeah, they may well have been. But, you know, some of them girls were playing for their place in the squad, weren't they? Let's be honest. You know, coming up to the World Cup, they had a point to prove, one or two of them. So, I don't know. I think the injuries must have been on their mind because there were so many injuries last season. I don't know. I don't think you can play a game worrying about getting injured because that's when you're likely to get injured, aren't you? You just got to go into the game and play it because you can get injured anytime. Training, you can get injured falling down the stairs at home, couldn't you? Potentially, so, you can get injured anytime, and you just have to go into the game and just play it. And if you trust yourself, trust your body that you can get through the games. And let's hope that the World Cup doesn't bring any injuries because you know that would be great for us, would it? We're just maybe that's a factor mentally, it's there, isn't it? It is a factor when you see your teammates getting injured, it is a factor that plays in your mind, I'm sure. But I don't know, we can't really use that as an excuse. Players shouldn't go into a game thinking, I don't want to get injured. No. That's a dangerous mindset to have, isn't it? Before a game, really. You've just got to go out and play your game, haven't you? And don't worry about it. You can't think about that. I know sometimes it's hard, but. Let's hope that whatever the reasons were behind our reasonably poor performance is building up to it, that we've had an opportunity now to put them right. And Serena's worked on things, players at certain things, and we're going to be a lot better when it matters. Let's be honest, it doesn't matter if we're 0-0 with Portugal, it doesn't matter losing to Australia in a friendly. If we win the games that matter in a tournament, no one's going to care, are they, how we played before the tournament. No one's going to be bothered. So let's get it right on the day when it matters, on the night, and let's hope that... that we do, and I'm sure we will for most of it. It's just, I just feel as though we're going to run into some really, really strong teams later on, and you know, that's when you know how good you are when you play those sort of teams, aren't you? We're not going to learn too much on Saturday, are we, playing Haiti? Let's be honest, we're not going to learn too much about ourselves. It's just a matter of, you know, showing patience, possibly at the beginning of the game, and obviously our quality should shine through, we should get off to a good start, winning start, and then, you know, if you win your first game, you only really need a point from your next two games to qualify, don't you? Because 4 points is enough. You don't want to look at it like we want to get all nine, but let's win the first game and go from there. And I'm sure we will. And we can look forward to a good tournament for England and I say for women's football in general. Let's hope England outperform what we maybe anticipate at this moment in time. I think we're a little bit apprehensive about it, but let's hope that we can get it all right at the time, get it all together. So the World Cup starting, it's exciting. We're looking forward to it. Obviously, Saturday is a big game. Now, it kicks off, I think, is it 10:30 our time, isn't it? So will that be 11:30 your time, Andrew? Because you're ahead of us, aren't you?
Yeah, 10:30 a.m. on ITV on Saturday, that's right.
Yeah, so I mean, what I think might be a good idea is, I don't know whether any of you two are available maybe Saturday evening to look back on the game, do like a review of the first game.
I'll be available Saturday. I'm not working this weekend. I don't mind.
Andreas, are you around on Saturday?
I can try, I can't promise, I will try,
Saturday evening, just to look back on the game maybe, and obviously, you know, at the start of the World Cup in general, the first few days, how it's been going, obviously the England game and stuff like that, and see how it's all gone. So we can do that maybe on Saturday, or maybe Sunday.
After the Germany game.
Yeah, potentially. Yeah, we could maybe do something Sunday. Maybe we'll work there. We'll have something. We'll have something for that anyway. Now, before we finish tonight, though, there's been it's been quite an interesting few weeks at Arsenal, let's be honest, with some good signings, some exciting signings, and of course the fixtures came out today as well, plus some horrible away kit as well they released, which isn't very nice, is it? But anyway,
oh, it's terrible, isn't it? Some like yellow away kit. That's terrible.
It's horrible, isn't it? It's horrible, horrible. But anyway, let's not worry too much about the kit. It's not a great kit. But anyway, the exciting news is obviously, you know, obviously Alessio Russo was the big signing. It wasn't a big surprise, was it? We kind of had a feeling that after January's record-breaking bid that we were probably going to be the team that she would go to at the end of the season. So really, really excited about obviously her coming in. Looking forward to seeing about the World Cup and obviously next season. And Chloe Lacasse was quite an interesting one, because another name that was branded about earlier on, wasn't there, about the potential signing her in January. So suddenly now, from having not much cover in the forward positions, we've now bought two strikers, plus obviously Steiner, who had a great season. I mean, Andreas, how exciting are you about those two signings in particular? And of course, the defender as well, Ilstad's coming from Sweden, obviously someone that Jonas knows well.
Yeah, I think so far we had a good transfer window. And of course, I'm really excited about the two new strikers. I mean, Chloe Lacasse scored lots of goals in the Portuguese league. Of course, it's not as competitive as the WSL, but she also scored in Champions League against Bayern Munich, against Barcelona. So she is a good striker, and she is in her peak years. She's, I think, 29 or just turned 30. So and she said she feels ready for a league like the WSL. I think she's a very good alternative for the attacking line. And of course, Alessia Russo, she was on top of my wish list since the Euros. And in January, I was hoping so much that we could get her. And I'm sure if we signed her in January, we would have reached the Champions League final.
Oh, I don't know.
I kind of agree. I know it wasn't just the, you know, I mean, Steiner was fantastic in the second half of the season, wasn't she? But having another option could have been the difference. You're right, in that semi-final, that could have been the difference, couldn't it? Because look at the end of that game, Jem Beach had to play up front for 20 minutes because we didn't have anybody else. What difference that might have made, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. It might have made a difference, yeah. We might have got to the final, might have won it, who knows. But anyway, we've got her now. That's the main thing, isn't it?
Yeah, she's 24 and the best years for her are yet to come, and she can develop in this spot with such quality of strikers. And if Kelly Smith is still in the coaching staff, I think she will a lot from her. We saw the influence Kelly Smith had on Stina Blackstenius in the second part of the season. And if we get all our players back, if Beth is back, and then there's, of course, competition in the attacking line, but also a lot of quality. And I'm excited to, and can't wait to see Alessia play in our kit, and she'll have a great season. Maybe she won't score 20 or 23 goals like Rachel Daly did, but if she scores 10 goals as she did for United and assists 8 or 10 other goals, then this would be fantastic. And and having the chance to react in a game, to change tactics and to change to make changes from Wednesday to Saturday, change the team on 5 or 6 positions like Emma Hayes did in the decisive part of the season. That will be great. And Amanda Ilestedt, she came from Paris. Of course, we need a centre back. I think we still need one more centre back because we are still a bit small in defence. She has a lot of experience. She played 2 years at Bayern Munich, then 2 years at Paris Saint-Germain. She's experienced in the national team, and she played Champions League in the last 4 years. So, it's an experienced defender. Let's hope she goes through the World Cup without injuries. But we still need one more centre back, I think.
And she can play right back as well. Amanda can play right back as well. So good, because obviously with Laura injured, she can be cover for right back as well. Plus, you can play the back three. Sometimes what we did last season, didn't we? So, you know, there's I agree. I do think we need another defender. Yeah. And maybe another midfield player as well. I think if we're going to sign anybody else now, I think we need another defender, absolutely. And I think a midfield player as well. Because we saw last season, didn't we? Kim was out. Leah Walty was out. We didn't really have cover, did we, to come in? And obviously, Leah Williamson would have played there, but she's out as well. So we need another midfield player as well, I think. I think those two positions, I think if we do buy two more players in those positions, I think we've been ready now to go into the season and really push for that league title. I mean, Amar, you must be excited about the transfer window so far, are you?
That's not been bad. It's been quite quick and efficient. I like it. The whole last summer, we were thinking, like, are they going to sign anyone? For example, they need to sign. Who did they end up signing last summer? It was just Lina Hurtig. And who was the other player? Oh, my memory is just terrible. But I'm just like, who was the other player we signed alongside Lina Hurtig last year? Oh, it was Marquez. Wasn't it? Yeah. It was two players in the whole of the and you get free signings come along. It's like buses, isn't it? It's like free like London buses, free signings in the space of, what was it, 2 weeks? That's really good, yeah. And yeah, it's good that she's got it out and all the way. I know she said, Russo said the person who's been affecting her a little while because of having the emotion of having said goodbye to Manchester United, leaving her bestie behind in Everton and moving on. But you know, it's good that they got their business done quickly. Yeah, I still think we've got good depth now in the forward line. Need a couple more, I would say, maybe possibly. As you say, in a central defence with Leopard out until at least January now, and Laura out until around January, I think, isn't it, as well? So it's going to be interesting to see. As you said, the step was a good signing. I think she brings experience. Actually called her as well, I think, when I saw that she was leaving PSG on Twitter. I think, why not just come to Arsenal? And she did only a couple of weeks later. So, yeah, I think a couple more defenders, and we've had a really good transfer window. And, yeah, I think we can definitely compete on all fronts next season. So, exciting times. I think we're building something special, both the men's and the women's team. And yeah, and let's hope that next season turns out to be a memorable one. But only time will tell, I guess.
Yeah, obviously it will. But yeah, certainly as things stand at the moment, it's looking very, very exciting, isn't it? Very positive. And of course, if you remember, the last time we won the Continental Cup, that was Joe's first trophy. The following season, we won the WSL, didn't we? So let's see if we can repeat that this season.
Do you know another good omen, Richard? Do you know another good omen? Who was when we played Liverpool on the first time of a season last time, we beat them 5-0, which was also in the season we went on to win the WSL. So let's see.
Okay. And of course, as well, the last time we won the WSL, who did we play last game of the season? Brighton. Who have we got last game of the season this season? Brighton. So there you go. It's written in the stars.
You know, it was Man City. We beat Man City last game of that season, didn't we?
That was the game that we won.
We won the title of Brighton,
then we beat Man City after, yeah. And funnily enough, if you look at the fixtures, Man City's our last away game and then Brighton at home. So the last two games of the season.
I'm surprised that Man City are not playing at Emirates. I'm very surprised by that, though.
Yeah, we've got Liverpool and Aston Villa at the Emirates right now. The Liverpool game is the first game, but I'm quite surprised that there. Man City's not at the Emirates, which I'm very surprised. I expected it to be Chelsea, Man United, and Man City was the three main ones. Tottenham would be the fourth one, and then one of the others, Liverpool or Aston Villa. I'd have probably gone with Aston Villa over Liverpool. Aston Villa are going to be a good side next season. I think that could be a tough game. Yeah. So, little bit surprised that Liverpool got picked over Man City, but you know, I mean, obviously Sky are going to get involved and the fixtures are going to move and they're going to be different kickoff times, different days, and God knows what's going to happen. But I mean, overall, looking at those fixtures, I'm reasonably kind of excited about it. Obviously, Man United away, second game of the season, Russo going back to Man U so early on. I think it's written for us to score the winning goal, isn't it, in that game? I think we all know that's what's going to happen, so we're quite excited about that one. But I like when fixtures come out. Not that it matters too much because you've got to play everybody home and away, but it's just nice when the fixtures are out, you know, the season's coming, you can start to plan for things and look ahead and think, right, these are the games I want to go to. This is that and the other. So it's always nice when that's out. So it's good to see the fixtures for the time being. Let's hope that Sky don't move. Hope we don't get too many games moved to like a Friday night or some stupid stuff that they tend to do.
I think they announced the TV selections for the They announced the first couple of games. I think that Manchester United against, who is it they're playing on the first game? I can't remember now, but they've got 12. I think it's Tottenham their first game, isn't it? Chelsea, Tottenham. That's a 5:30 kickoff on the Sunday. I think they brought that forward in line with some of the from. So I think it's going to be 6:45 is now 5:30 or something like that.
Oh, is that going to be the evening game now? It's at 5:30.
That's what I thought earlier. So, yeah, I think it's Sunday 5:30, and then there's Sunday 12:30. They're showing the Manchester United's first game as well. But I'm not sure that's going to be a sign of things to come. But that's what I've seen anyway.
I mean, that would be slightly better kickoff time on a Sunday, wouldn't it? 5:30 as opposed to quarter.
Yeah, definitely.
But again, it's going to depend on when the men's games are on, because quite often we don't want them to overlap. That's the other thing. But At least the quarter to seven games, generally, if Arsenal men had played on a Sunday, even at half four, it was finished before the evening game. You know, you wouldn't want to overlap, really, would you? So that's
it's 12:30. 12:30 is the BBC live game on a Sunday on the first weekend, and then 5:30 is the Sky. So I think I remember there was actually Ellen White sat on the panel recently. I don't know who it was, but they said they wanted to bring the kickoff times forward because it's just not viable for people having to go to work or school.
It's not. It's
completely understandable. So to bring
for kids as well, kids aren't going to go, are they, on a quarter to seven on a Sunday, especially, you know, if it's an away game. So, yeah, I mean, they need to look at that. Yeah, let's hope that's going to be a sign of things to come in, and scrap the Friday night game altogether, because it's pointless having a game on a Friday night. Because that's our show, so they can't put a game on a Friday night, because it just ruins our show, so they can't. More kickoff size. I think our first game's 2 o'clock kickoff, isn't it, on the Sunday? So,
It's 2 o'clock on a Sunday against Liverpool. Yeah, 2 o'clock. That's right.
Yeah, that's a decent time, isn't it? At 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon. We quite like that at the Emirates. That's going to be good. It's quite exciting now, isn't it? But you know, before all of that, before any more transfers come in, I'm pretty sure the Arsenal women won't buy any more players when the World Cup's on, because you'd imagine we'll buy players at the World Cup. We'll be playing in the World Cup probably. So, we'll probably have to wait a few more weeks till we get any more signings. But, yeah, I think one or two more signings coming in would be good, just to complete the squad. Bearing in mind, as the season progresses, we're going to be getting injured players back as well, aren't we? So we've got that to look forward to as well. Yeah. I think we need one or two more, let's be honest. And if we get that, I'm sure we'll be there or thereabouts in all the competitions this season. It's exciting stuff, isn't it? But I say, before all that, we've got this lovely World Cup to come, a month of football, the kickoff times in this World Cup aren't great for us. I know that, you know, we have to suffer some strange times, but we'll try and watch as much of it as we can. Obviously, afternoon, morning kickoff times are going to be tricky, especially when it's during the weekdays, but we'll do our best to get all the games, as many as we can. I'm sure we'll watch them all. And hopefully it will be an enjoyable tournament. I'm sure it will be. And we'll all be cheering on for England. Even Andreas is cheering for England in this one, aren't you, Andreas, from the start?
Not honorary Englishman, so yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So that's all good stuff. So yeah, we look forward to it anyway. It's going to be good. Colonel's in the chat. Hello, everyone. How are you doing? I've been up you well. Good to see you. And I said, what we're going to do throughout the World Cup, we are going to do some shows, you know, after the England games, to look back on the game, to look forward to the next one. And, you know, I'll try and do some watch-alongs. Some of the kickoff times aren't going to help in that respect. I won't be able to do watch-alongs for some of them just because it won't be possible. But I'll do the ones that I can do. And we'll have some shows of an evening through the World Cup, look at the games and talk about them and look forward to the new games and all that kind of stuff. We probably won't get as to do as many as we did last year when the Euros was on, just because it's not the tournament, the timing of the tournament doesn't really suit so much. But we'll do what we can. We'll get as many shows as we can on the go throughout the next few weeks, you know, trying to enjoy it all and give you as much coverage as we can as well. Stick around for all of that kind of stuff coming up as well. I'll say we will do something at the weekend for the England-Haiti game, whether it's Saturday or Sunday. We'll work something out and we'll put something out and we'll go with that anyway. So that'll be good. So stay with us for that as well. And of course, if there's any exciting transfer news to bring you in the meantime, we'll obviously bring it out as well. But I'm not sure if we'll get too much going on, certainly in the women's side of things, in the next few weeks. Maybe the men might, you know, we've certainly spent some money already, so maybe there might be one or two more coming in over the next couple of weeks. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see. Maybe I think we need to sell a few first if we're going to bring any more in, to be honest. But we'll see what happens. And obviously, we've got the game in America to come as well for the men on tour in America. So lots and lots of great stuff going on. So I'm sure we'll find some way of fitting it in around what we're doing on our channel as well to bring you some coverage of it all. But we are going to do as much as we can on this World Cup because it's going to be good. And we're looking forward to it. You know, World Cups are always good, aren't they? Whether it's men or women, it's always great. A month of football. What more do you want? We had a World Cup in the winter. We've now got one in the summer as well. We've been spoiled, aren't we? And then we've got a great season coming up. It is all going to be good stuff. And we're looking forward to it all. So, Andreas, thank you very much again for coming on. Good to see you again. It's been a while, but great to see you. And getting a new shirt as well, which is very nice.
Thanks for having me on the show. And, of course, I was looking forward to it. And, yeah, looking forward to the World Cup and exciting tournament. I hope that all our players go through the tournament without further injuries. That's the most important thing. And, if we have to choose between no injuries and winning the World Cup, I would choose no injuries for none of our players. Yeah. For the Linus, for Sweden, for Norway, for Canada. Let's hope for some exciting matches. And it's not the best time to watch football early in the morning, but. I will try to see as much as possible from the highlights on TV in the evenings. From the Zone will bring a highlight show every night. So I hope to see as much as possible, and looking forward to discuss this with you all. And let's hope for a successful World Cup also.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, I agree. Obviously, we don't want any of our players to get injured, because we've got enough injuries already, and we certainly don't need any more going into the season, that's for certain. But let's just hope that all of our girls that are out there enjoy the tournament, have a good tournament, they get a lot of confidence from it as well, and they'll be buzzing coming into a new season, won't they? So I hope they all do well. And I say, you know, whoever wins a World Cup, whichever nation wins a World Cup, as long as it's not America and as long as it's got one of our players in, I'll be reasonably happy, I have to be honest. I don't really want Spain to win it either. So not USA or Spain. If anybody else wins it, and we've got a player who picks up a World Cup winner's medal, then that would be great. If it's a Lioness, it's even better. Of course, we'd love that, wouldn't we? But yeah, that's kind of what I'm hoping to get from this. And yeah, no injuries. I think that's, you know, that would be a massive, massive bonus, wouldn't it? If all our players come back fit and healthy, ready to go for the season starting in October. I mean, Amar, good to see you again as well. It's been a few weeks. You enjoyed coming back?
Yeah, not been too bad. I wasn't there for the end of season review. Still haven't watched the back, but yeah, I don't know if I will. But no, it's good to be back. And yeah, it's we'll try to do as often as you can during the World Cup. And we'll just still look forward to the next one. It's had brilliant Wimbledon. We've had a fantastic Ashes series, and hopefully we'll have an even better Women's World Cup. So yeah, bring it on, I say.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know. I know generally the football season is not in the summer, but there's a lot of great sport in the summer, isn't there, as well? And it's brilliant news anyway. And this year has been just as good. And we do get a World Cup this summer as well. So, you know, we had a Euros last summer. We've got a World Cup this summer. It's just brilliant, isn't it? So we look forward to it. It's all starting on Thursday, the first game, isn't it? So we'll try and watch a bit of that. And yeah, I think I think we'll be having highlights on of an evening as well.
BBC Three
doing it, aren't they? Yeah, so we're going to have highlights as well. So what we'll try and do is, whenever we're going to do a show, we'll have to try and fit it in around the highlights. Obviously, we're all going to want to watch the highlights, because we're not going to be able to see all the live games. So I think the highlights in this World Cup are going to be really important, aren't they? So we're going to enjoy that as well. So watch as much of it as we can. I say we'll try and get a show out for you at the weekend, looking at the England game. Hopefully a few goals to talk about. And hopefully a few good performances from some Lionesses from the Arsenal women playing in the World Cup in the first few days as well. So we look forward to that. Obviously, we've got some in the Australian team as well. We've got Wayne in the chat there. He says, I've got a feeling it's going to be the Matildas or possibly Spain. Obviously, I hope it's England, but with no Mead, Williamson or Kirby, maybe come costly. Yeah, I mean, we mentioned that at the start of the show, Wayne, about obviously those three players missing. It's difficult, isn't it? Three of your most important players all missing at the same time. But we've got a good squad. But I agree, I think it's going to be tough for England to win this World Cup. We're not going into it in the greatest form. We've got injured players and whatever. But if anybody can negotiate through a tournament and get us through it, it is Serena. So we've got faith in her. But I agree, I think Australia have got a great chance. And I wouldn't be too disappointed if Australia won it, actually, with Caitlin and Steph in the team.
Yeah.
Shame Sam Kerr will have to win it with them, but anyway. I think Australia are going to be my second team. Well, I suppose apart from Northern Ireland, but I'm sure they're not going to last very long, unfortunately, for Katie. But I think Australia will be my second team I'll be cheering for in this World Cup. Let's hope that they have a good tournament as well. Steve says they're no chance. Boy, they've got a chance. Of course they've got a chance. They're the hosts. Every host has got a chance. And they've got a good side. They've got some good players. Let's be honest. They've got some great players. So I wouldn't say they've got no chance. I think they've got a decent chance. I mean, yes, it's tough, isn't it? I mean, the USA are the team to beat. We know that. But is their time up? Are they quite as good as they were? I'm not quite sure if they are, actually, USA. So I think maybe their days are over. And maybe someone else's chance this time to win that World Cup. And yeah, why can't it be Australia? I think they've got a decent chance. They've got as good a chance as anyone at this moment in time. But we'll see. It's gonna be interesting in a few weeks anyway, isn't it? We're going to enjoy it. So let's see how it goes. But yeah, if England don't win it, I'll be cheering for Australia. Let's see how that goes. So yeah, it's going to be good. So I say thanks to everyone for watching. If you please give us a like before you go. I say we'll be back at the weekend looking back at England Haiti game, which hopefully will give England a good start. I'm sure it will. And then we'll put some shows on for you throughout the tournament as well. And we'll enjoy that. And of course, when we go now, we're going to play out with the new little introduction song, Pete Drake it is. It's his new single for the World Cup. It's really, really good. There's a link in the description down below, so check it out on Spotify. Get hold of this because it's very, very good. This is Pete Drake's new song, and we will see you very soon. Take it easy, guys. Come on, you lionesses. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Lionesses, you come so far, but don't forget who you are. Your roots are yours, but also ours, giving hope to rising stars. Lionesses, here we go.